You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome back, Buffalo Bills fans. My name is Matt Warren. I am the editor-in-chief at BuffaloRumblings.com. This is Buffalo Rumblings Q&A, our weekly podcast answering your questions about the Buffalo Bills, the team you love to root for. You can always call in and leave your questions for us at 716-508-0405. You can tweet us your questions at Rumblings Q&A with the word and spelled out in the middle. You can text us at the number I said before, 716-508-0405. You can email us using the Buffalo Rumblings at sbnation.com email address. You can send us a Facebook message at Buffalo Rumblings. There's lots of ways to get in touch with us. You can leave comments on our show notes every Wednesday. We post those at BuffaloRumblings.com, and you can get a hold of us that way. This podcast is really super boring without questions, so luckily we have some good ones this week. And I'm sure as we enter free agency and the 2019 NFL draft that more and more of you are going to be interested in having your questions answered on air. So get those questions in. And thanks to those that sent them in this week. Like I said before, we've got a jam-packed show for you this week now that the Super Bowl is over and we are into full off-season mode here in the NFL. We've got the combine coming up at the end of the month where all the draft picks or potential draft picks are going to be working out in shorts and t-shirts for NFL scouts and general managers and coaches from all over the league in Indianapolis. Real quick on the New England Patriots winning another Super Bowl. I tweeted this out at the end of the game on Sunday, but I mean, Tom Brady is the best quarterback that's ever played the game. Bill Belichick's the best coach that's ever coached the game. It's really tough to not at least respect them, even if we don't love the fact that they're in the AFC East, or the AFC for that matter, and they've been constantly just beating down the Bills. Over the last 18 years, the Bills have certainly deserved it more often than not. They've deserved that beatdown. So I'm not going to hold it against the Patriots for delivering, you know, knockout after knockout when the Bills have been inept. So cheating notwithstanding, PED suspensions and, you know, draft pick forfeitures notwithstanding, you know, the Patriots are still better than everyone else. And, you know, I'm hoping that at some point in the very near future, they'll fall off and the Bills will be able to retake the mantle as that team to beat in the AFC East. If you're looking for hope, look at Tom Brady's age. You know, Warren Moon played well into his 40s. Brett Favre played well into his 40s, but they both reached that age of 42 and kind of fell off, whether it was by retirement or just by just having a down year and then retiring after that. So, you know, Brady can't keep outrunning Father Time for forever. So, I mean, maybe this is the year, maybe next year is the year, but really what I'm hoping is that the Patriots can't make it back to their fourth straight Super Bowl in 2020. I would definitely love for the Bills to keep that record in their record books, four straight Super Bowls, the only team to ever do it. If the Patriots equal it, but also, you know, hit up those, you know, seven or six championships along the way, it'll be, well, it'll just stick in my craw just a little bit more. So, that's all I really wanted to say about the Super Bowl. It was really boring. I was only half watching it most of the time. And yeah, I cheered for the defense more than the offense because I like football. But, you know, my wife was pretty darn bored. So, yeah, that's all we need to say about the Super Bowl. Let's get on to the questions. This week's question I'm getting a lot has to do with roster building and just kind of general principles. But as we enter the draft season and looking at the list of free agents, a few people have been asking me, what position do you think the Bills are going to sign a free agent at rather than drafting and developing a guy? And I think there's actually a really clear answer to it as I've been answering this question for folks over the last, week or so. General manager Brandon Bean has been talking over and over again about the center position and experience at the center position and helping a rookie like Josh Allen, or second year player in this case, Josh Allen, set protections and really just kind of anchor that offensive line. And he's been talking about it both on BuffaloBills.com and from the Senior Bowl about how important it is to have a veteran center. And that's why last year they went out and signed Russell Bodine, who had started for four seasons for the Cincinnati Bengals, to be their starting center after Eric Wood unfortunately came down with his neck ailment that sidelined him and ended his career. But one of the first things that Bean did when he got here was sign Eric Wood to an extension. And they didn't really need to do it at that time, but they did because they wanted him around because they knew there was going to be this young quarterback coming up through the ranks. And obviously that plan was blown out of the water, but they still have that idea that you need that veteran center. So in a good way, there's centers available in the free agent market that can handle that. In a bad way, there's only two of them. And if they miss out on that, I don't know if they're getting an upgrade over Bodine if they go any further down the list. Looking at some of the names that are on the list, the top two names are Matt Paradis and Mitch Morris, both from the AFC West. Paradis with the Denver Broncos, Mitch Morris with the Chiefs. And it's interesting that the Chiefs have that connection to Andy Reid, who has the connection to Sean McDermott. And so McDermott might really want to go out of his way to nab a guy like Mitch Morris from the Kansas City Chiefs, who will also be a little bit cheaper, I would think, a little bit cheaper than Paradis. Paradis is clearly the best option, and he's not afraid of the cold and afraid of the snow because he's played in Denver, so that's not really a big issue unless he really wants to just get the heck away from the snow and go down to Miami or something and play there. But he did miss seven games last year because of a fractured leg. But really hasn't had injury problems, and that's not an injury that he can't recover from and play at a high level. So I'm definitely not worried about that, even though he's turning 30 this coming season. There's no reason to think he can't play for, four or five more years, even if it's 3 years, just to get Josh Allen over the hump from being, a green quarterback to a seasoned pro. And then maybe they can develop a center to take his place in the future. Morris is younger. He's only 27 right now. He's going to turn 28 in April. And it's just very, very good, especially in pass protection. He's missed more games than Paradis over the last few years. But he's certainly just a very, very talented player that they could try to bring in. So I don't know which one of those two they're going to target. If I was them, I might target both of them and just kind of see which one I could land. After that, it really does fall off dramatically. You have a whole bunch of just a guy players, guys that are like Bodine. They have, some starting experience, probably less starting experience than Bodine, who started every single game for four seasons before the Bills signed him. They've got guys that have been injured that are further on down the free agent center list. And, guys that just aren't very good. So those are the two centers that I think the Bills are definitely going to target. And the reason I say that they want to go with that instead of drafting a guy, even though we did do a series on Buffalo Rumblings just last week about, different centers that they could pursue both in free agency and the NFL draft. And there's good centers available in the draft, that's for sure. But you want a guy with experience, or at least Bean has said he wants a guy with experience. And that'll be really helpful for Josh Allen and the rest of the Bills offensive line, especially if you're going to flank him with Wyatt Teller on one side, who's a second year player, and maybe a potential rookie on the right side as well, unless they go back to Vlad Dukas or something like that. So the center is the position where I think they're going to really target a free agent and go right from the bat. A draft pick makes way more sense for running back. A draft pick makes way more sense at tight end. A draft pick makes way more sense at right tackle, even, and guard probably. Wide receiver, I don't love the list of free agent wide receivers, So I mean, maybe that's another place where they add a draft pick. So you just keep going down the list, and on offense especially. On defense, maybe pass rusher. I'd rather have one of those top pass rushers than a draft pick there. But, you know, if you're going to extend Jerry Hughes and you're willing to add a year or two onto the end of his deal, then you don't need, you know, a high-paid guy. You just need a guy that can come in and maybe contribute to the pass rush. Same thing at defensive tackle. I want them to, you know, bring in a guy. That'd be fine. A guy can come in and be part of that rotation relatively easily, as opposed to a center who's going to hopefully play every snap for you throughout the entire 2019 season. And then a cornerback, you already have young Levi Wallace, who has shown he can handle the job. I'm not saying give him the job, but he can handle it. And so I don't see another place where you say, yeah, we definitely need a free agent over a draft pick. So if you're asking me, and that was the question of the week, you know, which position are they going to address in free agency for sure, before the draft even starts? I'm going center all day, every day, even though there's only two guys that I think would be a legitimate upgrade over Bodine.
Hi, this is Charlie from Hamburg. I came up with this question on Twitter asking you guys what surprising cut or player who would be traded this offseason, knowing that Brandon Bean has a history of releasing players, trading players, and we know there are some players that we expect to be cut, like Charles Clay. So other than the expected, who would be a surprise cut as well?
Hey, Charlie, thanks for your question. Yeah, Charles Clay is definitely the guy I would expect to be released. I don't think that would be a surprise, though, and you're asking about surprises. Clay does have the fourth highest cap hit on the team. Here's a name I haven't heard thrown out yet as far as the Bills and potentially moving on, but Trent Murphy, the defensive end that the Bills signed last offseason, is kind of one of the centerpieces of their reworked defensive line along with Star Lotulelei. Murphy, they can save about $5 million in cap space if they release him before March 17th or before somewhere in there. And then especially with the talent available at defensive end on the market right now, if they wanted to go and sign one of those really talented younger guys that can be here for, you know, 5 or 6 years, I think that might be a player that, you know, they could move on from relatively easily and upgrade over pretty easily. He didn't really provide much of a pass rush last year. You know, in a similar vein, Jerry Hughes, you know, his cap hit's going to be $10.4 million in 2019. They can save, you know, $7.5 million by releasing him or trading him. So both of those guys, I think, are names that, I mean, obviously they'd be surprising. Hughes played very well last year. If they're releasing him, it is so that they can go sign one of those top guys that is 5 years younger or 4 years younger than Hughes. It's not because of how he played. I don't think that they're going to do that. I think Murphy's the much more likely candidate for to be released, but he's a Sean McDermott guy. He's a Brandon Bean guy. They both were here when they signed him. They signed him to be, you know, a guy that's going to work his butt off in practice, a guy that's going to work his butt off in the weight room and on the field, that kind of lunch pail guy. And so obviously he's got some connection to McDermott and Bean because they both signed him. But if they can get one of those super talented, you know, upper echelon pass rushers, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they moved on from his cap hit so they could absorb that really big cap hit of somebody else and then maybe give Jerry Hughes an extension, draft a player, and boom, you have a completely revamped pass rush by releasing Trent Murphy. So he's a guy that you asked for surprising, and I'm giving you one. So Trent Murphy is my pick for this question. Thanks again, Charlie. Our Twitter question of the day comes from TManny22, who asks, if the Bills don't make the playoffs next season, is Sean McDermott on the hot seat? I think we've addressed this already, but I wanted to make sure that I hit it if I hadn't hit it and reiterate it if I needed to. I don't know what could possibly happen in 2019 that would get Sean McDermott fired at the end of the 2019 season. They'd have to go like 2-14 and have, you know, Josh Allen be absolutely terrible, the defense completely fall apart. And I think that's the biggest reason why I don't see it happening, is I don't see the defense completely falling apart. They return all three of their starting linebackers. Right now they've got their top three defensive ends still under contract for next year. They've got two of their top three defensive tackles under contract, with Kyle Williams retiring. They've got the same starting safeties coming back. They've got the same starting cornerbacks coming back. The defense is going to be able to keep them in games, you know, even if, you know, the offense can't really produce. And that's way more likely to get Brian Daboll fired than Sean McDermott, who took the Bills to a playoff appearance in his first year. So Brandon Bean's only been here for one full offseason. He's not going to fire McDermott. With Bean and McDermott kind of attached to the hip, they're going to get at least one more offseason after this one, especially with the way that they had to tear it down and take on all that dead cap space in 2018. The way that they kind of overhauled the roster. So, no, I don't think that McDermott is going to be on the hot seat if the Bills miss the playoffs. In fact, I think it's probably likely that they'll miss the playoffs, but they need to start showing that upward trajectory toward that. They need to get to that, you know, 8-8, 9-7 type of range and prove that they can play with the big boys. They got blown out by every playoff team that they played in 2018. Excuse me. And it just, I mean, except for the Houston Texans, and, you know, the Texans didn't really do a whole lot. So they're really struggling against upper echelon teams. And if that trend continues, I think in 2 years, you can start having that McDermott conversation, but it's too early to have the conversation about McDermott being on the hot seat just because the Bills missed the playoffs. They made it last year, which is more than any Bills coach can say in the last 18 years. And I think Tara Pegula sees that. Kim Pegula sees that. She's the team president. And because McDermott and Bean are connected at the hip, I just don't see it as a possibility in 2020, even if they do somehow really underperform. Thanks for your question. We'll be right back after this quick message. Stay tuned.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Our next question comes from Twitter too. It's from Chip Shop Steve, who asks, who do you think the Bills would have chosen had the Browns taken McDermott when they were looking for a coach in 2016? Chip Shop Steve is referring to a report out of ESPN who alleges, I guess is the right way to say it, that the Cleveland Browns brass, the decision makers, were all in on Sean McDermott back in 2016 after they fired Mike Pettine following his two seasons at the helm of the Cleveland Browns. The general manager, the decision makers, all those guys were on board, but owner Jimmy Haslam overruled them and instead hired Hugh Jackson. Jackson went on to lose 31 of his first 32 games and was fired. And now they've got a brand new coach again. Of course, if McDermott had been hired in 2016 by the Browns, he wouldn't have been available for the Bills, presumably, in January of 2017 when they were looking to replace Rex Ryan. And so that's what Steve is asking about, is who do you think the Bills would have gone with instead of Sean McDermott? And of course, there's no way for me to know that. But I look at the candidates that they interviewed, and the candidate that seems to me most like McDermott is Frank Reich. He's even keeled. He is prepared, knows what he's talking about, can really lay out a nice plan and a nice foundation moving forward. The thing that Reich wouldn't have brought would be the close ties to Brandon Bean and a potential general manager. So it's interesting to see what that might have ended up looking like with Doug Whaley. Would Doug Whaley have stuck around, or would they have hired somebody else to come in and work with Reich? But I still think Reich, who was on the list of candidates, they interviewed a bunch of candidates to replace Rex Ryan. Reich was on that list. So he's my best guess, but that's all it is a guess, just based on temperament and his connection with the franchise and, you know, just kind of his body of work that he's been able to put together since retiring from his playing career and joining the coaching staff of the Indianapolis Colts, first as the quarterback's coach and then eventually moving his way on up to offensive coordinator jobs and now the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, who has done a really, really nice job in Indy and looks to be situated with a lot of cap space for a nice long run with Andrew Luck and, you know, a really solid offense in Indianapolis with former Bills quarterback and potential head coach, Frank Reich.
Hi, my name is Jose A. Alicea, a.k.a. Fesco from Hartford, Connecticut. I'm a Buffalo Bills fan since 89. And I was wondering, would the Bills would be able to go after Kareem Hunt? I mean, I think it's time that we should try to go after Kareem Hunt, big running back. I mean, the Sherman Court is pretty good right now, but I feel like it's time to go to a Super Bowl contender type of team and get Kareem Hunt for the future. Do you think we might be able to get him or no?
Hi, Jose. And as I say to everybody living in New England that calls into this show, thank you for being a Bills fan in New England Patriots country. Kareem Hunt is certainly an interesting case. He was placed on the commissioner's exempt list during the 2018 season when a surveillance video from Cleveland Hotel showed him shoving and kicking a woman. The Chiefs released him, but not because of that incident. They released him because Hunt apparently lied to them about the investigation, and they released him for lying and for the incident. Now reports have surfaced that he got into an altercation with a man in June in Ohio. So, you know, Hunt has several things going against him right now. He is still on the commissioner's exempt list, which means he isn't even serving a suspension right now. Ian Rappaport of NFL.com reported that Hunt is expected to serve more than a 6-game suspension when all is said and done. So if he gets, you know, a 10-game suspension reduced to 8 games or something like that, he'll be gone for the entire season or half the season anyway. So, and that's if a team signs him. I would imagine that most teams are going to kind of wait and see how long this suspension is before figuring that out. Of course, you know, teams don't have to do that. They aren't paying a guy if they're paying him in salary, they're not paying him during a suspension. So, you know, maybe they don't have to be worried about that. I don't know. But I think most teams are going to wait and see, although they're keeping reports all over the place about this team being interested in him and that team being interested in him and all that other stuff. But, you know, yeah, he's a game-breaking running back, that's for sure. But he can't play. He can't play for the first half of the 2019 season. And, I mean, if you're talking about having him come in and maybe replace LeSean McCoy at the end of the season or halfway through the season, I mean, maybe. But, you know, he lied to Andy Reid, one of Sean McDermott's best friends in the coaching world, a guy that he's got a long relationship with. And I just don't see it as a fit in that regard. I don't see the, you know, and Andy Reid being like, yeah, Sean, he's going to totally do what you want him to do, because he lied straight to his face. So it seems unlikely that that's going to happen. I would certainly welcome his talent if he didn't have the baggage, but there's a reason he's available despite all that talent. So Hunt is not a guy I would anticipate the Bills going after this offseason or really at any time in the near future while Sean McDermott's still the head coach. Let's fit in one more quick question before we go today. Ian Carmody at IrishHunter16 on Twitter, a longtime listener to the Buffalo Rumblings Q&A podcast, if that's such a thing, asks us, what are your thoughts about the Pakulas since they bought the Bills, the good, the bad, and the ugly? I think that Kim Pegula, being the president of the Bills and all the rest of the Pegula enterprises, is a good thing and a bad thing. Having another person in the room to kind of set you straight on certain things is helpful, at least for me. So the fact that she's the owner and the team president leaves me a little bit apprehensive. And I think that's probably the worst thing that they've done since taking over, which admittedly is not a very long list based on, you know, all the reports and everything I've heard. So, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, not that bad. They have hired and put good people in place, Rex Ryan excluded. But you know, I like what they've done in recent years. They've got Brandon Bean as the general manager and Sean McDermott as the head coach, and they believe in them. They've given them the keys to the organization. And I think that's what they need to do in order to be successful owners in the league. Now, whether they pick the right guys or not, it's too early to tell, but they at least pick their horse and are letting that horse run the race. And that's, again, one of the things that I'm a little bit suspect about with Kim Pegula as team president. Now, that has nothing to do with her abilities, because I think she's a very, very intelligent businesswoman, as she's shown over and over again handling Pegula Sports and Entertainment. But it just has way more to do with having another voice in the room and adding knowledge to the situation. And by taking another person out of that, like the team owners are already going to be in the room. Terry and Kim Pegula are already both going to be there. Bean is already going to be there. McDermott's already going to be there. So, you know, by taking away that team president, you're taking one more, you know, intelligent voice out of the room. It just strikes me as, I don't know, a little bit odd. That's going to do it for this week's episode of Buffalo Rumblings Q&A. As always, I encourage you to call us and leave your voicemails, 716-508-0405. You can text us at that number as well. Send us your Twitter questions at Rumblings Q&A on Twitter, and that's with the word "and" spelled out in the middle. You can email us at buffalorumblings@sbnation.com. You can leave questions in the show notes that post every Wednesday on buffalorumblings.com. You can send us a Facebook message. I mean, there's lots of ways to get in touch with us. Please get in touch with us and send your questions, because without you and your questions, the show is super boring. So the next time I talk to you guys, nothing big will have happened, probably. We're going to be moving into more of the free agency and the NFL draft mode, but you know, there's no big events between now and next week. So get those questions in, and maybe I'll have some time to prepare some remarks on Ken Dorsey as the quarterback's coach and Chad Hall as wide receiver's coach by then. So maybe we'll tackle that next week. Send us in your questions, and we'll go from there. Thanks a lot for listening, and make sure to tell a friend about us and the rest of the Buffalo Rumblings podcast network. We've got Blitz Bills, Circling the Wagons, and of course, Buffalo Rumblings Q&A. Go Bills.
To-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, But you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.